Second Chronicles chapter 26. And I'm going to look at all these verses tonight, but I want to look at verse 5. And it says, I hear some Bibles still turning. I'll give you a minute. Second Chronicles, and way over in the Old Testament, way past Kings when you look in there. But it says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, and who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And you know, I want to look tonight with the things that the Bible has to say about prosperity. And I'm going to lay my Bible aside because I've printed it out on a sheet here so I can read it tonight. You may be seated tonight. But I want to think about what it says here about one man that's prospering here. His name was Azariah or Uzziah, and he was a king over Judah. He was the 11th king over Judah. And God would bless his life. And, you know, we're hearing a lot about prosperity today. We're seeing a lot of things about prosperity. We're hearing it on the TVs and on the radios. And, you know, you can do just about anything you want and have anything you want. But God's prosperity is a little different. John said in one place, he said, "Beloved," he said, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." He said, "Even as thy soul prospereth." And what John was saying, as he said, "Beloved, I wish," or "I pray above all things," or "that in every way, that thou mayest prosper," or "that you may all do well and all may go well with you, and you could be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Prosperity simply means to cause to succeed, or to become strong and flourishing. And it means to be successful or to cause to thrive. I begin to think about what thrive means and what it says. It means to grow vigorously or to increase. You know, the Bible also says that there's a false prosperity that we see many times in our day that we're living in. And you know, it kind of causes us to wonder about prosperity. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we don't have maybe what other people have. But you know, our time of reward is yet to come. Our times of entering into the glory, into the pleasures of God will come one day. And when you look around and you see people prospering, you see things or what appears to be prospering, we're kind of like Jeremiah was. And Jeremiah said to the Lord this. He said, "Righteous art thou, O Lord." He said, "When I plead with thee," he said, "yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." And then he asked this question of God. He said, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" He said, "Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously?" You know, sometimes we mistake what prosperity is. You know, we think that prosperity is that we've got everything, and that many times, you know, we assume that everything is going our way, that everything is good, and we look around, and Jeremiah wondered those things himself. I thought prosperity can lead to many questions. This false prosperity, when we get our eyes upon the wicked, and we get our eyes upon sinners, and many times we wonder why it is that they have so much, or appear to have so much. But you know, do people really have everything when they've got everything? Do they really have anything at all when they got all the things of this world and they don't really have Jesus in their life? You know, I believe the child of God will prosper. I believe God will bless them. I believe that they'll have everything that God wants them to have and everything that they need to make it through this life. Thinking about this false prosperity and the way that we look at things sometimes. The Bible says in Psalm 73, said, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You know, don't get your eyes upon sinners and think that because they have maybe
the treasures of this life, that they have what they need. You know, we need Jesus more than anything else as we're going through this life. And when we have Jesus, then we have everything that we really need. You know, he said, they are not in trouble. As this man began to look, he said, there's no bands in their death. He said, but their strength is firm. You know, when we look at the wicked, if we're not careful, we'll judge our life by what they have. And sometimes we see that things in their life, maybe they're not having the problems that you and I have. There's a reason for that tonight. The devil already has them, and the devil doesn't give them any trouble. But you know, when we're serving God, we're on the winning side tonight. He said, they're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. He said, therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. You can look at the wicked and you can see the pride that they have for all that they have. Many will make boast in the things that they have of this life, but it says their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. But listen what it says about them. It said, they are corrupt and speak wickedly. He said, concerning oppression, they speak loftily. He said, they set their mouth against the heavens. You know, many that have all of the treasures of this life, they're against God in everything that's right and good. They don't want God in their life because they're content with the things that they have. He said, therefore his people return hither. But he goes on to say, he said, behold, they, these are the ungodly, which prosper in the world. They increase in riches. You see, sometimes we've got the wrong definition of what prosperity is. And you know, this King Uzziah, this king began to have God bless his life. And as long as he sought the Lord, God caused him to prosper. I want to read some things that happened in his life. If you have your Bible and you look at verse 1 tonight, you know, first of all, he was the 11th king over the nation of Judah, and he came to the nation of Judah at a troubling time. His father had been the king, but his father had been assassinated, and at the early age of 16, he was made king over Judah. You know, he had a great challenge before him, even as a young person. You know, the young people in this world, we portray to them that prosperity is get all that you can get. But the Bible teaches us that we ought to lay treasures up in heaven. You know, where the moth and the rust doesn't corrupt, where the thieves can't break through and steal, where it'll be there forever, eternal treasures in the heaven with God. But you know, this king, it says in verse 1, he said, now all the people of Judah took Uzziah. He was the people's choice even at the age of 16. There was something about the life of this king, this young man, that they looked at him. Not only was he in succession to be the next king, but they wanted him to be king. Isn't it good that we can look at some folks and that we can see the result of God being in their life? We can see even that young ages, like the age of 16, that they are prospering and that they are successful in their walk with God more than in the things of this world. You know, many young people got their eyes upon the things of this world, and they're focusing away from God and the things that are really important and the things that really matter. But here's a young man that somewhere in his life, because of a priest named Zedekiah that would take him under his wing, this young man would build a desire. He would build a longing to seek the Lord. And even at a young age, you'd probably find him at times in the temple on his knees. Hallelujah. Crying out to God to help him, to lead him, and to guide him. But you know, as a young man, 16 years old, he was made need to be the king over the nation of Judah. Praise God. Verse 1 tells us he's the people's choice. His father had been put to death, been executed. But verse 2 says something about him, even as a young man. I don't know when he started to do some of these things, but he went in and he began to strengthen Judah. You see, this young man, why he was seeking God, set the priorities right for that nation that was backslidden, that nation that was filled with so much trouble. This young man would set them in the right direction. God, give us some young people that'll stand up and lead the way. Hallelujah, that will restore the paths of righteousness and holiness, and that will strengthen the church the way that it should be strengthened. You see, the devil says they can't do it, but God says they can. Hallelujah. As long as anyone sets their heart to seek God, they will prosper in the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to make up our mind that we're going to seek the Lord. Praise God. He began to strengthen Judah. The Bible said he built Elah and restored it to Judah, and said after the king rested with his fathers. It says Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. You know, he must have had some intense training at the hands of Zechariah of the priest. Somebody saw something in the life of this young man. They realized somehow that someday he'd be in a position of responsibility. These children tonight, these young people are going to one day stand in places of responsibility and be accountable for what they do. This young man, when he became king, he would reign 52 years over Jerusalem. Oh, can you see it? He'd not always do what was right. He would sometime in his life begin to be lifted up in pride. But thank God for a wonderful start. Thank God for a priest. Praise God, a man of God. For somebody that would look at this young man and say, I want to be a guiding hand in your life. Not only give us young people, but give us some adults that'll spend the time and the effort to make a difference tonight. Hallelujah. Listen, let me go on. Praise God. He did what was right and pleasing to God. Look at verse 4. The Bible said, and he did. You know, I read here so many things that he did and what the things that he set out to do. But he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. You know, he made up his mind, if nobody else lived for God, he was going to live for God. I believe before he became king, he's already doing right. I believe before his father was assassinated, and he was put in that place of responsibility, that his heart was already right with God. You see, he was prepared, even though he didn't know what would happen in his life from day to day. We don't know where God's going to have us at tomorrow, what we're going to be doing tomorrow, the next day, but let's seek God so that we might be successful in every venture that life takes us on, so that we can succeed in all that God has called us to do. He did all of these things according to all that his father Amaziah had done. In verse 5, it says he sought God in the days of Zechariah. You know, when Zechariah had his hand in his life, There was someone to teach him right from wrong. There was someone to show him the difference. Someone that was willing to take the effort that was required. Someone that was willing at times to be frustrated when they look and didn't see the results that maybe they expected. But old Zechariah kept it up. Old Zechariah put his hand to the plow of a young man's life and would make a difference in that man's life. That young man would make a difference in the land of Judah. You see, one person can make a difference. These young people tonight, God could use them to change the direction of the church that we're a part of. God could use them to change the directions of families that are headed for hell tonight. If somebody would take the time and say, I'm going to teach them, I'm going to show them right, no matter what it costs and what effort it takes in my life. Hallelujah. But he, praise God, sought God in the days of Zechariah. You know, I don't know, it doesn't say what was taught to him in his life, but I'm sure that Zechariah would take the written word that he had at that time, and he'd sit down and he would read with this young man the words of God. He'd probably take him as a little child and begin to sit down and train him and teach him and show him the ways that God would want him to walk in his life. You know, little children don't always understand, but as they grow, they begin to increase in wisdom and knowledge. They begin to take on different attitudes. They begin to take on different moods, and you watch them change from a little child. You watch the wonder that God has built into the human body as they begin to grow from a child to an adult. And I believe Zechariah could see that even as a young boy, maybe 13 or 14 years old, he could see some results in the life of Zechariah or in the life of Uzziah. He could see how that his training was beginning to have an effect upon his life, and what a wonderful thing it was taking place in the life of this young man. He wasn't out running everywhere else. Wasn't doing like all the others were doing in Judah at that time. But you know, he was growing into a man of maturity even at an age of 16 years. And what a responsibility was laid upon his shoulder. You know, I believe even as a 16-year-old man that would go to the throne and ascend to the kingdom of Judah, that he would still lean at times upon this priest Zechariah. That maybe he'd come to him and they would seek God together. That when they'd had a question about the kingdom or about some decision, that they'd not be hasty to make it. But I can almost see them kneeling and seeking God for direction for that nation of Judah. You know, we need to seek God for direction in all of our decisions of this life. If we're going to prosper, if we're going to succeed and make it through life, we're going to need to lean upon the Word of God. We're going to need to lean upon Jesus. No matter what age we might reach in this life, we still need to lean upon God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, you know, I thought Zechariah had instructed him, and oh, you know, Uzziah took these words to heart. You know, you can take young people, and they're so impressionable when they're young. You can take them if you'll sit down and be sincere with them and honest with them. Don't lie to them. Don't tell them to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. Don't require of them things that you know are wrong for them. If it's wrong for a child, it's wrong for an adult as well. If it's wrong for a child to smoke a cigarette, the parents shouldn't put one in their mouth either. You know, and they shouldn't do things and say to that child, you can't do this and you can't do that. But my God, be the example that God wants. And then they'll believe you, and what you tell them will go to their heart. What you say to them will mean something to them. They might not understand on the level that you understand, but it'll have an effect in their life. And one day the things that you teach them will come to a fullness in their life. One day they'll understand the lessons. One day the words will be able to be recalled from their memory of the things that they've been taught as a little child. You see, Uzziah would prosper in the sight of God, and he would prosper as the king over Judah because he would stay upon his knees. Any child of God, any Christian, any individual that wants to prosper in their spiritual life must stay upon their knees before God. We have to build the altars of prayer again. We have to get up on our knees and cry out to God to help us to make it through this life. I want to tell you something tonight. If we're successful, praise God, in remaining faithful until the end, we can say that we prospered. We can say that we've succeeded when we step through the gates of glory and we hear him say, well done. Hallelujah. But the Bible says it was as long as he sought the Lord. You know, I want you to look at some things that happened in his life. Verse 6 and 7, the Bible said he went out. I want you to look at what he's doing. You know, he didn't just send somebody out, but I believe at times he would go out with his people. And he went out and made war against the Philistines. He broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jephthah and the wall of Ashdod. He built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. Can you see what he's doing? He goes against the enemies of Israel. He wasn't afraid to stand up and fight. You know, it's something about young people, that they're more courageous than us that's been in the way for a while. Young people will stand up and do battle where we'll kind of back up at times. But he'd go out. He would tear down the walls of the cities of the enemy, and he would build amongst them other cities. He would plant the Jewish people in those cities. Did you know that Israel is doing the very same thing today? They're putting their people in different areas, and people are setting settlements up in Israel. God, give us some people tonight that'll prosper in the battles of this life. That'll say, I'm going to go. I'm going to face the enemy. There was something about the confidence that he had built up in the Lord. There's something about him when he seek God, and maybe he'd say, Lord, should I go against the enemies of Judah? And perhaps God would give him the go-ahead, and God would say, go on, you're going to prosper. You know, some of this false religion today is like it was in the days of Ahab, when he was about, I believe, to go up against Ramoth in Gilead, and he was going to battle against them. He called for his false prophets, and they'd say to him, go on up and prosper. And God didn't want him to go. It wasn't that he was supposed to go, but my Lord, they would lie to him. There's many tonight that are lying to you about this prosperity thing. My God, if we can't prosper in our soul, then we're missing the whole meaning of living for Jesus tonight. We have to prosper in our soul. Many are saying the more that you got, the more that God is with you. Paul said there's those that would teach us that to gain is godliness. You know, they're telling you the more you get, it's proof that God is with you. But you know, Paul would say from them, turn away. He said, these are corrupt men. They're men of corrupt minds. He said, you know, he said, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. You know, if we can get closer to God in our life, then we are successful tonight. If we can get the presence of God moving and the blessings of God, feel Him, the touch of God in our life, praise God, then we can say that we are succeeding. If we can get on our knees and get a prayer through to God and reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are successful tonight, and we are prospering in the eyes of God tonight. Maybe not by the world's standard, but if we can reach one soul for Jesus. You know, Nehemiah, there was a time when Nehemiah would go before the Lord. Let me see if I can find that scripture. And I thought, you know, that we need to seek God to help us to prosper in all of our spiritual endeavors. Nehemiah got word about Jerusalem one day, and it troubled him. You know, the people were under severe persecution and affliction, those that were left there. He said the walls of the city, he got the word, the walls are torn down, and the gates had been burned, and the people were subjected to some hard and cruel persecution and treatment, and Nehemiah would get touched by that message. My God, can you see what the devil is doing tonight? And how that so many that think they're prospering, they got big automobiles, they might have new houses and new things, and there's nothing wrong with these. But when these things come before God, and the devil has a hold in their life, then they're losing out with God tonight. And the devil is making many of them miserable tonight. Many of them are miserable in their sins tonight. And all they need Jesus to help them. They need Jesus to deliver them. And they need somebody like Nehemiah that would say, Lord, I want you to send me. You know, we need to realize that God has sent us on a mission tonight. And God has called us to do something tonight. Nehemiah began to realize that. You know, he didn't realize it until this message came. He was over in the palace of the king, and he said, I was the king's cupbearer. He had it made. You know, he had all of his needs, and he had all the comforts of living over in that kingdom, and everything was all right, and he had forgotten all about those folks that were back there. He probably thought, you know, even though I'm over here carried away captive, yet I'm prospering in some other ways. But my God, when the message hit his heart, he realized that God had called him to do something. We've been called to do something tonight, church. And we're on a mission tonight. That mission is to seek souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, every spiritual endeavor that God lays before us, we need to seek God for it. You know, that young man Uzziah sought the Lord when this kingdom was laid at his doorstep. He knew that it was too big and too great for him. There's not a one of us that can accomplish anything tonight without the help of the Lord. We need God's help to accomplish what needs to be done. We need Jesus, and Nehemiah felt the weight of this burden for souls in his life. And this is what he says. He said, O Lord, I beseech thee. He said, be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, in the sight of the king. He said, for I was the king's cupbearer. He was saying, Lord, I feel this burden to go, and I want to go, but God, I can't go unless you prosper me, unless you open the door and make the way. And you know, God heard his prayer. And God moved on the king's heart. And it wasn't long before Nehemiah was heading back to the broken down city of Jerusalem. Wasn't long before he would stand at those broken down walls and see the ruins and see the devastation. And then I believe that maybe at a time like that, that he'd stand and see all that God had called him to do. What a task it is. What a job that we have before us tonight. But just like Nehemiah and just like Uzziah, we can succeed as long as we seek the Lord. There's some other things that Uzziah did. I want you to see what happens in verse 7. The Bible said God helped him against the Philistines. You see, God didn't forsake him. You know, God hasn't turned his back upon our young people. God hasn't turned his back upon the church tonight. But many times we walk away and we turn from the altars of God and we go in different directions and we find that we're not succeeding the way that God wants us to. It's time to fall on our face before the Lord. Isaiah said in one place, he said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Verse 8, it says that, you know, he became well known. And he was feared because of what God was doing in his life. Look at verse 8. It said also the Ammonites and brought tribute unto Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt. It said, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Oh, you know, it strengthens us when we seek the Lord. Praise God, there's not a time that you can get before God at an altar of prayer and pour your heart out that you won't feel the touch of God every time that you seek God. Praise God, it'll draw you right into his presence. But the fame of Uzziah began to go out. You know, we ought to be known for our commitment to God, not for our laxness, not for being a part of the world, but we ought to be known as the children of God tonight. Hallelujah! And because we seek Him, God will help us. We'll gain some influence in this world. We'll gain some influence over those around us. When we're seeking the Lord, God will make it happen. God will cause it to happen. He caused it to happen in the life of Uzziah. And then it says in verse 9 that Uzziah began to build. You know, we need to build for the Lord. Praise God. It said he built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress of the wall. And then he fortified them. You know, he began to build those towers. Praise God. You know, we ought to be wise against all that Satan is trying to do tonight. We ought to build some towers and then we ought to stand up and look out and we ought to see what the devil's doing. Be aware of who the enemy is tonight. Be aware of what he's trying to do in each and every life tonight. You know, God gives us that wisdom. When old Uzziah or young Uzziah was seeking God, God would fill him with wisdom. You see, the wisdom that we need is not the wisdom of this world, but we need the wisdom that comes from above. Wisdom to know how to live in this day that we're living in. We're living in a troubling world. We're living in a time when the morality is about the lowest that it's ever been. You know, since the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, the world has never sunk so low. But now it's beginning to sink in immorality. And the church and many in our churches are struggling with the thing of right and wrong. But when we stay on our knees before God, we'll have no decision, no trouble making the decision of what is right and what God wants from us. We'll know what to do, what is right. God will show us what is right. And you know, old Uzziah began to build. You know, we need to build our churches up. We need to build it with souls. You know, many are building it with rocks and stones and bricks. And you know, I would love to see it get to the point where we'd maybe have to build a new building. But before you can build a building, you've got to build a church first. Before you can have the facilities to enlarge them, you've got to build with people and with souls. Praise God, we can build, but somebody's going to have to stand upon the high towers. We can never leave them forsaken. Somebody in our churches needs to be on guard. Somebody needs to be on their knees. Somebody needs to be doing something for God all the time. Hallelujah. And Uzziah was succeeding in all that he did. Building towers. Praise God. Building fortifications. And the Bible says, moreover, praise God. Well, verse 10, God blessed him. You know, a lot of times the thing that we go for when we're looking for prosperity is material things. But you know, look where God put him in the order of blessings in Uzziah's life. The Bible said he built these towers and he dug many wells. You know, and he had much livestock. Now, I want you to know this, that Uzziah didn't do all of these things. He had men that were willing to work with him. And you know, God gives him the credit for getting these things started. And God gives him the credit here. But you know, I believe what Uzziah would tell you if you'd see him, and he's still young and still living for God, I believe he'd look around and say, I didn't do all these things myself. I found it on my knees at an altar of prayer, and God put it in my heart. And he gave me some good workmen and some good laborers to work together. You see, church, we're in this together. It's not a pastor's church. It's not an overseer's church. It doesn't belong to any bishop tonight, but it's God's church. Thank God that when we seek Him, He'll help it to grow and we can work together. But God blessed him. You see, it's not anyone can say, I did this and I did that. It's good to see what we've accomplished. And thank God that we're able to accomplish things with Him and for Him. But it says He dug these wells. And he had much livestock, or for he had much livestock. You know, I believe he got them from the Lord. He had it both in the lowlands and in the plains. And also he had farmers and vine dressers. You see all these guys and these people working together. And it says in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. You see, he just like you and me, there's some things that he loved as well. And you know, God would bless him. And God, you know, just, he didn't go through life having a life of just working and struggling and doing. God blessed him along the way. You see, doesn't God bless you and me with things in this life as we go through this life? But look where they came into play in his life. You know, as he sought the Lord, he didn't say, God, give me this and give me that and do this and do that. I believe he sought the Lord, maybe as Solomon did. And ask for wisdom to lead that nation. I know the scripture doesn't say this, but I believe somewhere in his life, there was that longing in his heart to do right in the sight of God. And the Bible said, moreover, verse 11, Uzziah had an army. He had an army of fighting men. You know, he might have the vine dressers, and he might have the wells, and he might have the livestock and these blessings in his life. But don't you know there's an enemy out there that wants to steal every blessing that you got tonight? He wants to take everything that God has done good in your life and just destroy it and take it away from you. So Uzziah could see that there's an enemy. He built those towers, and you know, he had an army of fighting men. You know, the church needs to have, praise God, against Satan, a sin, a militant attitude tonight. We ought to have a fighting attitude against the devil and against sin tonight. For the Bible says that we are in in a spiritual warfare tonight. You know, it's not a thing of saying I'm going through and all through my life I'm going to have peace. We're going to have to fight for every blessing. We're going to have to fight for every soul. We're going to have men and women to stand up and say, I'll take the devil head on. I'll go into the heat of the battle where I need it the most. And oh, he had these mighty men. They fought the Philistines. They fought these enemies. And you know, the Bible said he had all of these. And you know, verse 14 says, and Uzziah prepared for them for the entire army. You know, it's not good to just have armies and not have weapons. You know, the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, here's a young man could see the need to have an army. Here's a young man that could see the need that that army need to be equipped. You know, the church needs to be equipped with the weapons of our spiritual warfare. We need to be equipped with the things that God tells us to put on, the whole armor of God. And the Bible said he provided or prepared for them for the entire army. You know, there's not a soldier of all of those 307,000 and some odd men that he had. There was not a soldier that would stand on the battlefield without having his weapons. Uzziah took care of it. You know, in our church we need to take care to equip our people with the right weapons to fight the battle. And to stand in this last day, it's not with guns and bullets and bombs, but it's with the Word of God and the spiritual weapons tonight, hallelujah, that'll be successful in this battle. You see, the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual powers tonight. There's a real devil in this world. There's real demons that are going about tonight. You know, we mentioned this morning, we've seen in this Harry Potter thing, you know, the devil's open with his attack, isn't he? And he's brazen to come to the children, and some people are so dumb that they lead their children right into devil worship and witchcraft, not knowing what Satan's doing to them. He's destroying them. Harry Potter's of the devil. Say, well, preacher, it doesn't hurt. Well, if you want to get mad at me over Harry Potter, go ahead. It's of the devil. It's satanic. It's full of demons. And it's full of powers that will get a hold of these young people. You know, one of the things that they mentioned the other day, I think I'm right about it, but they're going to have the people that's taken a part of it and these young people to make a vote of who's going to die next in that book. Going to kill somebody off. They're making murderers of our children. They're making killers of our children. So that when the Antichrist steps up, you know, and they take somebody that makes a commitment after the rapture, they'll be quick to turn them over to the Antichrist. Let me move on here. He says he made them shields and spears and helmets and body armor and bows and slings to cast stones. And even in Jerusalem, verse 15, said he made devices in Jerusalem. You know, and he invented by skillful men. Haven't we seen a lot of skillful things happen in our church? Now, I want you to see what's beginning to happen to Uzziah as the years begin to pass. You know, if we are not careful in our relationship with God, when once we started out, now I can probably say this and everyone will know what I'm talking about, that when we started out for God, we weren't ashamed to get at an altar and spend time at an altar and cry out to God. Isn't that true? How many times when we would have church, when we first got saved, that we didn't care about that thing going around up there on the wall. We wanted to the blessings of God in our life. But it says that they made these inventions and he put them on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and strong stones. So his fame spread far and wide, and he was marvelously helped till he became strong. What happened to Uzziah? It's what happens to many of us. When we were first saved, I remember when we were first saved. I remember some of the automobiles, you know, that we had. They weren't pretty to look at, many of them. I remember an old green Comet that we had, old 61 Comet. Gear shift up here on the thing. Little old six-cylinder, barely get out of its own way. But we were tickled to death with that old car. And it would take us and bring us. And you know, when it would snow, we'd put chains on the back of it and go to church. And now we're so afraid we get the first little tiny bit, and oh my goodness. Or, you know, I've had somebody call me one time, it was raining. Are we canceling church tonight? It's raining. And that's, you know, what happens. Many times we get strong. Many times we move from that place where we begin with the Lord, and we find that through the blessings of God, we begin to get a false security. And we say, I'm all right. And you know, I believe what happened in Uzziah's life. He quit praying the way that he once did. I know it doesn't say it here, but it does say as long as he sought the Lord. So there's a thought there that he quit seeking God. He began to depend upon those mighty armies. God had given him those armies. He should have kept on praying to God. God would have probably given him a whole lot more. And he began to rely upon those things and those inventions. Sound like big old catapults and things that they'd set up on the wall. And he began to rely upon them and said, we got the best and we got all of this and we got everything, just like the church is today. Jesus said of the church, he said, you're increased with goods. And he said, you say you have need of nothing. We are in danger of Christians of failing to pray to God the way that we once did. Now you think about that tonight. I'm telling you the truth. Some don't pray the way that they once did. Some don't put the intensity of seeking God in their life the way that they once did. Because we're looking at things that we have as being the prosperity in our life. Thank God for the things we have. But don't let them separate us from being on our knees at an old time altar of prayer. One of the things that we have that keeps us from God more than anything is that thing we set in our living room. Now you know it's true. And we sit and watch that and spend hours and hours and hours. How many can remember when you were first saved that you'd open that little black book that you had and you begin to look through that and read that and you found something good in that? How many can remember when you spent time upon your knees and God blessed? But it says when he became strong, he was marvelously helped till he became strong. You know what happened? God quit helping him. Because he didn't want God's help anymore. He didn't ask for God's help the way that he once did. Oh, we ask him once in a while. We ask him when we're sick or we've got a problem. We ask him when things are happening. But to really put our heart into seeking God the way that the church used to, we don't see it happening anymore. And the Bible said, but, verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Look what he did. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. I want to look and see what he had. He began to provoke a confrontation with the priest. Something wasn't going his way. And he began to provoke a confrontation with the priest. You know, I read where that Zechariah, I don't know if it was the same Zechariah that was with him or not, but he would tell the people of Israel, when they would turn their back and go away from God, and they would worship idols, and they would get away from God, he would say to them that you're not going to prosper. He would flat out tell them, you're not going to prosper. They got angry with Zechariah, and they conspired against the priest and took him out and stoned him to death. And they would find that even though they stoned the preacher back then, that God kept the words that the preacher spoke. And they did not prosper. You see, we need to be careful. We can provoke, I'll get it out in a minute, provoke a confrontation as Uzziah did. And he said, I'm going into the temple. I'm strong. I'm mighty. I know more than what the priests know, and I know more than what God knows, and I'm going to do what I'm not supposed to do. And he began to try to offer incense in the place of the priest. And the priest would get upset, and they would confront him, even though he's the king. They would stand against him. And you know, he'd get angry with the priest. Now, I believe maybe there was, let me see, maybe 70 of them. He became angry with the priests. And they're 80 priests. Let me get verse 17. It says there was 80 priests of the Lord who were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah. And they said unto him, it's not for you to burn incense unto the Lord. And says, they said, get out of the sanctuary. Can you see how they confronted him? Can you see how a man had went from being one that was blessed of God and prospering to one that said, I'm going to do anything I want no matter who tells me? And the Bible says, and Uzziah was furious. Look at verse 19. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry, he didn't burn one bit of incense. But while he became angry with the priest, careful what we do, leprosy broke out in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And the Bible said they thrust him out of that place. And it says in verse 20, indeed he also hurried to get out. You know, we need to be careful. And we need to have the top priority in our life should be to seek the Lord. You know, you want God to bless you. You want God to prosper you. Then we're going to have to make up our mind that we're going to seek the Lord. I had several other things that I would like to read tonight. But you know, there's people that think they'll prosper in their sins. But the Bible said that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And we're living in a time, Jeremiah said in one place, he said, you're, why do you go about so much and you're fooling with change, wanting to change things, looking for changes. You know, our churches have changed so much. And they've changed from holiness to the worldliness and all of these things that are coming in. We see all that's happening in the churches, and all this change. You know, and they're saying what was once sin is okay to do now. Still not right. God's not going to prosper. And that's what Jeremiah went on to say. He said, those that change, let me read it. It says, why gettest thou or goest thou about so much to change thy way? He said, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper. We're going to have to seek God to prosper. We're going to have to do it the way that Uzziah did it in the beginning. But we're going to have to make up our mind that we're not only going to start out that way. And you know, when God blesses us and things become big in our life and He lifts us up and exalts us, we still need to honor Him. We still need Him. We need Him more then than what we, you know, when God blesses us, we need Him more because we need to know how to handle those things that He puts in our life, or else they'll handle us. And they'll take possession of us. Would you stand tonight? Sister Kelly, would you come tonight? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What does the Bible say? Would you bow your heads with me? The Bible says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. Know those that preach and teach to you. And if somebody's not telling you the truth, if I don't tell you the truth, don't take my word. What I tell you, you ought to back up with God's word. You ought to get in there and confirm it. If I tell you any lies or I tell you anything that's not true, you come and tell me about it. But if I'm telling you the truth tonight, I'm not doing it to hurt anyone. I want God to bless your life. I know what God can do. Deuteronomy says, to prosper we must obey the word of God. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that you do. The Bible says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. He said, yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. God takes pleasure in your life every time that you get a little bit closer. God takes pleasure when He looks down upon us and He finds us on our knees at an altar of prayer. God takes pleasure in that. God takes pleasure every time that we open the Word of God and we begin to let it be a part of our life. And He touches us. And He looks and He sees the change that it makes in our life. You see, we have to be not just hearers of the Word, but we have to be doers of the Word. Church, God has blessed every one of us that's here tonight in some way. Be careful of those blessings. God didn't give them to you to hurt you. But you know, God gives us enough wisdom that we ought to know how to use those. Don't let a thing that God has blessed you with be a hindrance in your life. But all and everything that God has done be something to draw you nearer and closer to Him. That praise God we can say as we stand in His presence, I know that by His grace I'm prospering. I know that I'm getting closer. I know, praise God, that I'm getting stronger. I know that God's with me as I go through this life. Church, would you come tonight? Let's come and gather around the altar. Let God bless you tonight. Let Him prosper. Whatever you need in your life, you need the Spirit of God. You need a closer walk tonight. You need a touch in your body tonight. Oh, let God touch you and be successful in all that God wants to do in you tonight and for you tonight. Hallelujah.